Ladies and gentlemen, the boys keep chugging along. I'll say it again with your chest. The boys keep chugging along. How's it going, everybody? Welcome, everyone, to the San Diego Padres Hogwatch postgame show. I'm your host, Borna, a.k.a. Hog. The Fighting Friars of San Diego. These ones are pretty nice, huh? The stress-free wire-to-wire victory today over the St. Louis Cardinals. The San Diego Padres, ladies and gentlemen, they were battling a little bit of adversity in that Mets series. And I'll tell you that win yesterday, man, I still go back to that. That one felt like the really, really big win for the San Diego Padres. And it kind of set themselves up. It kind of got them going here, man, and to start this series against the St. Louis Cardinals. So how's it going, everybody? Welcome, everybody, to the San Diego Padres Hogwatch postgame show presented by our good friends over at Man to Sleep. How's it going? Let's get a quick roll call before we get in. I know we got a lot of people tuning in here tonight. How's everyone doing? Where's everyone tuning in from? Everyone smash that like and subscribe button. I'll tell you this, that thing felt really, really, really wire to wire, man. Great W. Just a great, great, great W. It feels good, you know, just an easy wire-to-wire little victory today for the Friars. They needed it, man. We have to talk about Jackson Merrill. We have to talk about Manny Machado getting the party started. We need to talk about Randy V coming back from the Pacific Coast League, rhyming accidentally. I'll tell you this, Randy V was big time tonight for the San Diego Padres. Say what you want. Say what you want about Randy Vasquez. He continues to dig deep, find ways, scrap, claw for the San Diego Padres, man. I mean, oh my goodness, what this guy has done just putting in spot starts here for the boys all year long has been nothing short but remarkable. Let's get a quick roll call. TJ, Tucson, High Point, North Carolina, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Las Vegas, Spokane. It felt easy. It did tonight, right? You never felt like this one was in jeopardy. They go up 2-1. The real big hit of the game was what? If you guys had to guess, what was the real big hit of the game? I want to give you guys a guess to see what you think. For me, big hit of the game, and that, should we do it? It was the Jackson Merrill bases loaded knock, two outs, bases loaded, three-run count.
Kyle, left and a base hit for Merrill from third base.
Big hit of the game. For me, that was the moment where I knew that, okay, they're going to be fine tonight. They're going to be fine tonight. We learn a lot about this team pretty early on into baseball games. What kind of game is it going to be? Are we going to need to sweat this one out? Are we going to lose tonight? Are we going to cruise tonight? And it felt like the cruise of the day after Jackson Merrill had that 2 RBI base hit to really score two, to score the Minister of Defense. And I'll tell you this, it was actually pretty brutal not to score Manny, but pro, it was pretty brutal because that bat prior to that, they had the bases knocked, I believe nobody out, and Xander Bogaerts had a 2-foot dribbler, and it was they were able to get the force out at home plate with one out, excuse me. So that was really up to Jackson Merrill to come through with two outs for the San Diego Padres. And what has Jackson Merrill done? In his three at-bats to start the game, I think in four consecutive at-bats, he had four consecutive RBI or something crazy like that for how good Jackson Merrill was. So he continued where he left off after the walk-off bomb yesterday. Breaking news, Jackson Merrill had another three RBI day for the San Diego Padres. I can't show the whole AB because of copyright, but he had a 10-pitch AB as well. Against Liberatore to come into the game in the fifth inning. I mean, just masterful stuff. I mean, this guy, can we please get some Jackson Merrill emojis in the chat? Because let me tell you this, and please hit that like and subscribe button. Jackson Merrill is by far and away the National League Rookie of the Year. It ain't even close. These Padres seem immune to the dog days, as AJ Cassavell writes. And that's the honest truth of the matter of hand. This Padre team seems immune to the dog days. They traveled two time zones after an emotional win Sunday, then played in 92-degree heat before a sparse crowd in the Midwest at Busch Stadium that usually has a raucous environment in late August. I'll tell you this, and they led wire to wire, gaining half a game on the idle Dodgers and Diamondbacks on Monday night, August 26th. To add insult to injury, if they were to lose yesterday, we'd be sweating our shitters. Now, as a snap of a finger, 24 hours later, they have a six-game cushion controlling their playoff dreams with less than 30 games to go. Now, I'm not going to say they have locked and punched their ticket to the postseason, but it's going to take a pretty monumental collapse to give up six games, albeit really five, because the Metropolitans of Queens do have the season series, but the Padres have played themselves into very much considerable postseason contention, and they can go under 500 the rest of the way and still secure AJ Preller's first 90-win season ever as GM and now executive president of the San Diego Padres. Additionally, the Padres are the fifth fastest, I believe, to 75 wins in franchise club history. So we know the Padres as an organization have historically not been a winning franchise. This year has been all but otherwise. This year, they've played for one another. They fought for one another. They have fought back late into baseball games. The pitching has been consistent. The bats are starting to wake up. The bullpen has been shut down. Kudos to Preller. Could you imagine now looking at tonight, right? You take a look at this bullpen a few weeks ago prior to the trade deadline. Morejon was your seventh inning man. Estrada was your eighth inning man. Suarez was your ninth. Now, Morejon and Estrada aren't even your 7-8 guys. They put Morejon today just because they had a four-run cushion, but you really saw he gave up a run and is vulnerable. They were able to not use Jason Adam, who did give up his first run as a Friar yesterday, but in my opinion, he's their seventh inning swing guy. Tanner's their eighth inning guy, who's able to work out of some issues. And Robert Suarez, listen, he gave up another run today. I only feel like, though, he's been giving up runs when he has a longer cushion. I want to ask you this. We're going to talk about the Padres signing Elias Diaz to a minor league contract here on Monday, August 26th at about 2 p.m. on the Pacific Coast. I do want to ask you guys this, Friar Faithful. And again, please, please, please smash that like and subscribe button as we are just getting started on the San Diego Padres Hogwatch postgame show presented by our amazing title sponsor in the top right corner of your screen, Mantis Slave. Did you like Mike Schilt's aggression? Considering that the Padres were coming into the stretch with 18 games in 18 days, did you like the decision to pitch Robert Suarez with a four-run lead in the ninth inning where it seemed like the Padres could have either pitched Matsui, they could have pitched Sean Reynolds? Did you like pitching Robert Suarez with a four-run lead in the ninth inning? I know Schilt loves to do it. He counts it as the pseudo-save, but I do want to be sure that they need to make sure they can preserve this guy coming into October. But I'll tell you this, it was a very mental statement to win that first game of this road trip. I'll tell you this, another question. A lot of Padre fans said, hey, Hawk, would you be happy with a 4-3 road trip? You got four straight in St. Louis, and you got three in Tampa Bay. I will say this, Randy Vasquez could be the worst starter that the Cardinals are seeing in this series, and he gave the Padres a quality start. Dylan Cease is going to be looking to bounce back against the Cardinals tomorrow. You're going to have Mike King as well against the St. Louis Cardinals. You're going to have Joe Musgrove against the St. Louis Cardinals. Right now, those are the Padres' three best starters. So if you were to tell me that, plus they already took game one of this four-game set, you'd probably expect this team to take 3 out of 4 at St. Louis at minimum. The crowd is sparse. The team has given up, even though they're only six back. I guess that's too much here coming down the stretch. But Randy Vasquez was your worst starter heading into this four-game set. You get the win with him, and let's talk about Randy tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Where do we begin with Sir Randy Vasquez? I'll tell you this, a lot of people giving him crow. I'm not going to say who, but he lowered his ERA to a 4.52. He ain't going to induce the most swing and miss. He is causing a lot of barrels, but it seems like the balls just fall straight to his outfielders. It seems like he's able to induce kind of weak contact. Randy gets his fourth win of the year. They call him up from El Paso last night. Where would the Padres be without Randy Vasquez? Musgrove was hurt all year. Darvish was on the restricted list. I know Waldron was performing, but my goodness, before they were able to acquire Martin the Dream Perez, they needed Randy Vasquez, and he stringed together, man, 8-9 big-time starts for the Padres in the months of May and June. Where would the Friars be without Randy Vasquez? And they obviously sent Waldron back to El Paso to try and figure out how they're going to maneuver this five-man rotation as we head into the stretch run in September. Randy Vasquez has been an integral part to kind of connecting the Padres this year, man. He has been so imperative to this team's success. Now, if this team ever wins a World Series, let's not even go there, but Randy Vasquez is going to be a big reason why this team didn't absolutely fall apart. Where would they be, man? This rotation was on thin ice at one point this year. Musgrove was out. Darvish was out. King was banged up a little bit. Cease had a 7 ERA for a string of 10 consecutive starts in May and June. Where would they be without Randy V? And say it again, rhyming accidentally. Again, everyone, welcome to the San Diego Padres Hogwatch postgame show. ADHD, how you doing? Here's this comment. Cardinals have a ton of pressure going into this series to save their season. We can end it. We did this to Pittsburgh and Washington, go 4-3 for the last 4 or 5 weeks, and we are 100%. I'll tell you this, the Padres don't even need to be a 500 ball club at this point to win 90 games. If they're 14-15 to end the year, they will be a 90-win team, and I guarantee you they're a postseason club with winning 90 games. Guarantee you. So, Randy Vasquez comes in, was lights out today, all right? The bullpen comes in, was pretty damn good. Morejone did allow the run. I do think, man, I still am not at the point where I trust Adrian Morejone here in the postseason. I would ask you this. If you have one guy to give you the seventh inning in a Game 5 NLDS, would you rather have Morejone take the ball or Estrada take the ball? Or does it match up based off of if they're seeing righties or lefties? Let's assume it's two righties and two lefties. Let's say they see four batters in the inning. They allow one to get on base. Who would you rather trust more, Estrada or Morejone? I think the Padres really find themselves knowing the 7-8-9 situation with Adam, Scott, and Suarez, but that kind of fourth guy is going to be very, very important determining whether somebody needs an off day in the postseason, whether they're playing back-to-back-to-back games. Estrada versus Morejone is going to be a very integral question for this team to decide how they want to move forward. Because that is kind of their fourth guy. I think Morejone has better stuff. I really do. I know a lot of people were talking about Jerry's 13 consecutive strikeouts to start the year in that chitter, but I do think Morejone induces more swing and miss, but I really don't know. Yeah, the roster does expand in 5 days. And what people don't realize, the we're back. Sorry. Another thing, although, you know, the bullpen scenario is a little bit tough right now because they're playing a lot of guys, the Padres right now, what they are doing is good. They can use this bullpen because, as ADHD says, the rosters expand here in the next 5 days or so. So, you know, they can be a little bit more aggressive with that. Another thing that I wanted to discuss, okay, that I didn't bring up in the show is when you take a look at this Padre team, they have a nice amount of off days in September. So a lot of people may be complaining about their 18 games in 18 days, but they have an off day Tuesday, September 3rd. They have an off day Monday, September 9th. They have an off day September 19th. They have an off day September 23rd. And they have an off day. Well, so they have four off days coming up here in the month of September. Four. So I think they can be a little bit more aggressive knowing that they have more off days than some of their counterparts here as we enter the month of September. So let's get into our top hogs and hog washes of the day. And I'll tell you this, God damn it, I really want to give the top hog to Jackson Merrill. But should I give the top hog to Jackson Merrill? Should I give the top hog to Jackson Merrill today? And I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think so. And I want to spend time talking about how dominant Jackson Merrill's at-bats were today because my goodness, my gosh, my gracious, they were. But the top hog of the game goes to the Minister of Defense, Manny Machado. Manny Machado had that kind of game where he was controlling and dominating the baseball on both sides. And that's why Manny Machado is the top hog of the day. And you know, one thing that's important, let's get some ADHD, you too, man. But my members, let's get some Manny Machado emojis. Let's get some top hog emojis in the chat. This Padre team damn near never loses, knock on wood, when they get the lead first. Doesn't it feel like whenever they score first, they're winning this game? They did it on Friday against the Mets. They did have that comeback against the... It's either they take the lead in the first or they find a way to come back in the eighth. There's no in-between. And Manny Machado, he got the game started. He had that big-time two-run shot here to start us off in that first inning. And I'll tell you this, he absolutely crushed
that ball 450 feet to straightaway center field. When Manny Machado's bat is ringing like that, man, that's how you know he is freaking home cooking. Here, what?
That's where you wanted to go.
Machado drives it out towards deep center field. Back goes Victor Scott at the wall.
I feel good about games, especially with Randy Vasquez on the mound when Manny Machado's doing that. With that being said, okay, he also had a few other hits today. I think 2 for 4 for the San Diego Padres. With that being said, it wasn't just the bat, which is why I'm giving Manny Machado the top hog, but he made a plethora of plays with the glove, all right? With the glove. But he also had that double to give the Padres insurance, which was really, really nice to see. But take a look at this play from Manny Machado, brother. Take a look at this play. And the irony is that he was able to do so getting Nolan Arenado. Charging a chopper from Nolan Arenado. The one bouncing throw. Got him. Got him. And I'll tell you this, Manny Machado, baby. Manny Arturo Machado did it all for the San Diego Padres tonight. He absolutely did it all. And how nice is it to see when we have these kind of games for Manny Machado? Shout out ADHD for the 5 gifted memberships. Shout out to Aaron, to BC, to Ocean, to Greg and to Ocean and to BC, Aaron, Ocean, SNS, and Greg. Thank you guys so much. Welcome to the Hogwatch membership and ADHD. Thank you, brother, for supporting the channel day in and day out through and through since. Shit, man, isn't it crazy? We're coming up on 4 years on the San Diego Padres Hogwatch postgame show. I'll tell you this. I'm not as dedicated to this anymore as there's some other people in this space. For example, Ben of Talkin' Friars, the wrap-up show. Some of these guys grind more than I do. Now, you got to give them respect. They have an awesome product. Life is crazy. You have experiences. But I'll damn tell you this. It is fun with you guys having these stretch runs. I know we still have the strongest community in the space. We have the closest community in the space. I have great relationships with almost 100 of you guys on an individual basis in this space. And to be able to continue to do this together is such an incredibly powerful and inspiring thing, not hopefully just for you guys, but for myself to do this every single day, man. And I'll tell you this, we're all here because we have the same unique goal. We just want to see this beautiful city of San Diego hoist their first ever World Series. And we know damn well in our lives, we'll be content till the day we die. We just got to see one. We just got to see one. We just got to see one. DSGs are my boys, bro. They got next, man. I told them. I'm going to pass the baton. They taking this shit over, bro. They taking this shit over. They are awesome, man. Love those guys. Love those brothers. Love those brothers. Another thing about this Padre team, big hits, right? With runners in scoring position. I mean, they only had 3. They were only 3 for 10 with RISP. And same with the Cardinals. They were 3 for 11. But guess what? Some of those big hits were from Jackson Merrill and Manny Machado. I mean, that was all they really needed. Machado had 2 RBI with his swing. Merrill had 3 RBI with his swing. And the boys just found a way to scrap and claw and get it done. My obligatory negative pregame tweets are still working. They will continue. You still have more subs than all of them. Padres go 4-3 2 weeks and 3-4 2 weeks, and they are 100% in. 100%, bro. 100%. I mean, we know this, right? We know... I love you, ADHD, bro, and I appreciate you being by my side since day one. But this Padre team, man, they've put themselves in a position after going 19-3. They only need to be a 500 ball club. You know, we can get greedy and we can kind of try and say, hey, we should be this wild card. We should be this wild card. I would put the division stuff to bed for right now. I think they should just focus on trying to get to 90 games. Win 90 games. Clinch a postseason spot, and you prepare for who you're going to face right there. I think we all feel confident this team should be a postseason team. And I think that win yesterday, I know we're already tonight, but I love to keep bringing up yesterday, man. That was the win where I still think this day we're going to lose that game. That's why I get destroyed on Twitter. But they won that game, and you're like, man, these mofos just continue to dig deep. And that game was just pathetic. It sucked. It was miserable. We were ready to start spiraling. And you know what? The kid and Profar bailed him out. The two best hitters on the Padres all year long. And how fitting was that? And the two best hitters with the highest WRC plus in the eighth inning or later. The Padres have been the most clutch team in Major League Baseball by a mile. The Diamondbacks are the second most clutch, and it's a huge drop-off. BQ, welcome back to the membership. You said ADHD inspired me to be a member. So the top ha goes to none other than Jake Cronenworth. The hogwash. Let's talk about the hogwash, and then we're going to talk about the big move for the San Diego Padres signing Elias Diaz. Before we do that, let's talk about the hogwash of the San Diego Padres. Do you guys have any hogwash honorable mentions? I have mine. Welcome to the membership. 24 months, the Emperor Hog. You gotta love it. So I want to explain to you something. And Antonio, thank you so much. Can we get some W's for all the new members in the chat, ladies and gentlemen? Again, guys, please hit that like and subscribe button. And if you're a member, put that X emoji. Can we get rid of X, says G-Lon. How you doing, brother? I love you and I miss you. You're a dear friend. One of my best friends, I'll always call you, even though I don't see you much anymore. Maybe I'll see you a lot more here pretty soon. But I'll tell you this. When you see people, okay, on Twitter talk about, yo, Xander Bogaerts is hitting 320 in his last 100 plate appearances, they're gathering this information. They say, look, Xander Bogaerts tonight was 1-for-3. So you look at his, quote, batting average, and people are going to say, you know what? He's hitting 320 in his last 30. The people who tweet that, it surprises me if those are the same people who are watching these baseball games. Now, I will give X credit for barreling up a single today. But are we really at that point with Xander Bogaerts for barreling up singles? I mean, Xander Bogaerts was a superstar when the Padres signed him. A gapper, an extra base hit machine, an 800-plus OPS player. Now, I'm not going to say he ever hit for the most power, but he was hitting 20 bombs. And not only he's hurt the Padres with his bat, but he hurts the Padres with his glove. He's not old. He's younger than Manny Machado. He's 31. I thought that the Xander Bogaerts that we were seeing right now is the Xander Bogaerts that we'd get when he was 38 towards the tail end of that lucrative 11-year deal. But damn it, this guy ain't even a 700 OPS player. He's not even a double-digit home run guy. I think he's had 5 to 7 extra base hits since coming off the injured list damn well over a month ago. And you're cringing every time he's at the plate. He has not had one big moment for this ball club in his tenure. The only big hit I can imagine I remember Bogaerts having was like a home run against the Mets in April of 23 at the beginning of the year when he started hotter than fish grease. So now you got to beg yourself and ask yourself the question, should they flip Merrill and Bogey in the order? Now, a lot of people have been talking about putting Merrill in that three hole, but I think you just move on a slow slide up, and you can continue the alteration. Arise is a lefty, Profar switch, crony lefty, Machado righty, Merrill lefty, Bogaerts righty. Then Peralta lefty, Kim righty, Higgy at the 9. I think a lot of people are talking about switching Merrill and Jake. Let's put that conversation to pause and potentially entertain the idea of switching Bogey and Merrill. Because I want Jackson Merrill to have the bat in his hand when Manny Machado, when Jurickson Profar, when Luis Arraez are getting on base. But right now, what's usually happening is those guys are getting on base and there's two outs to go in that first inning and the inning ends because of Xander Bogaerts. Maybe they'd score a lot more with Jackson Merrill with runners in scoring position at two outs in that first inning, and then you can have Bogey lead off in that second inning. Darvish, I don't know if he's going to go on a rehab assignment. They haven't revealed that information related to you
and Tatis. Let's get a quick word, ladies and gentlemen, from our sponsor of today's San Diego Padres Hogwatch postgame show. And guys, I'll tell you this. We have a guy in our stream today. His name is Alex Galanis. Okay, his name is Alex Galanis. I don't know if you want to, if I'm going to expose, but I'll say it right now, man. Alex Galanis is the guy who put me on the Manta sleep mask. One of my best friends of my life. I stayed with him in New York City, and I'll tell you this. The blinds were open. He said, Borna, use this sleep mask when you go to sleep and let me know what happens. And I'll tell you this. I had the best night of sleep of my life. I activated what was called REM sleep. And the issue with this mask is I have to use it every single day now. Advanced breathability, C-shaped eye cups, angles above the ear design. You can use it to day nap. You can use it to sleep at night. You can sleep on your side. And right now we're offering a special promotion, guys. When you go to mantasleep.com and you use code HOG, you can get 10% off any Manta mask. I mean, 10% off any single Manta mask. So what we're talking about right now is the Manta Mask Pro. They also have what I know a lot of people love is the Manta Mask Sound. That's also a really, really good Manta mask. So guys, link is in the description or pinned on top of the chat, and go use code HOG and get 10% off any single Manta mask. And as Jimma says, yes, they're POG. Yes, sir. They are amazing, Alex. Appreciate you, brother. I'll be in the city here in a week or so. Hopefully you're here. Love you, brother. By the way, guys, how ridiculous is it to have a fantasy football draft at 10 a.m. on a Sunday? It's Labor Day weekend. You know we're going to be out till 6 in the morning. In other news, ladies and gentlemen, the Padres have agreed to a minor league deal with Elias Diaz. Okay, let's talk. Manta's fucking legit. Love it. Go to Manta Sleep. I'm telling you, this shit's going to change your life, bro. I'm not a financial guy. I only buy stocks of companies that I use. I only sponsor with brands with companies that I consume. Let's talk about Elias Diaz. The San Diego Padres sign Elias Diaz to a minor league contract. Before we even get into Elias Diaz, let's talk about the Padres catching situation. Kyle Higashioka has emerged as the starting catcher of the San Diego Padres. He's been so good that the team must consider bringing him back as he's entering his free agent year. He's having career high seasons in OPS. He's having a career high season in slugging. Now, Higgy ain't going to hit for average. He's going to strike out a lot. He's slower than molasses, but I'll tell you this. He can throw runners out, and he can barrel up the shit out of a baseball that he's depositing in what they call the Higgy Bank. Now, the question has become, what happens when Higgy isn't playing every day? What happens when Higgy isn't playing every day? Luis Campusano has not only been detrimental to the San Diego Padres defensively, but after his pretty solid start on the offensive side of the plate, he's been damn near under the Mendoza line over his last 100 plate appearances. His power has absolutely stalled, having one homer, I believe, in his last 48 plate appearances. And he's striking out a lot. He's chasing a lot. He's not framing a lot. He's playing bad defense, allowing a lot of pass balls, and he's not throwing runners out. About 3.5 weeks ago, our divisional counterparts, the Colorado Rockies, waived Elias Diaz. By the way, who was the All-Star MVP in 2023. How crazy is that? The timing of the signing makes no financial difference for the veteran catcher. Diaz is still guaranteed the entirety of a $6 million salary from Colorado. If San Diego calls him up at any point, they'd pay him a prorated $740,000 league minimum, which would drop off the Rockies' books. Diaz has more than 6 years of MLB service and will return to free agency at the end of the season. His primary goal with this deal is finding a potential path to a playoff roster. And I think the path is with the San Diego Padres, because I don't know if Luis Campusano warrants any more at-bats.
And I'll tell you this. The Giants offered Elias Diaz a roster spot, but they didn't guarantee him that he'd be able to stay on the team when Patrick Bailey returned, number one. And number two, the Giants are simply 8 games back. There likely won't be a postseason ball team. Elias Diaz wants to make impact in the postseason. Now, what are some of his strengths? Number one, he's a very good defensive catcher. He's a very good framer. He is a very good guy who can throw runners out. We've seen it. We've seen it. We've seen it. Now, you look at his peripherals, okay, from the bats, and he's hitting 270. He has damn near 700 OPS. Now, I would say don't look into that too much. He was a lot better at the plate last year. His expecting batting average is a lot lower. Additionally, his biggest issue at the plate so far this year is that he has been chasing a ton. I mean, he has been chasing a fuck ton. Take a look at his advanced batting numbers. They really aren't good. His expecting batting average is 236, so he's been getting pretty lucky. He's also been playing in a very hitter's dominant ballpark, so I don't want you guys to get too excited. There was a reason to some extent he was released, but if you look at what he was last year for the Colorado Rockies, he was a lot better. I mean, was he though? I don't know. Ugh, never mind. Never mind. They don't like his advanced numbers. They don't like his advanced numbers. But I'll tell you, when you're hitting 270 and you have a pretty quick swing, and I know these don't look good, even if he's the same hitter as Campusano, listen to this. Listen to this. Even if he is the same hitter as Campusano at the plate, and I still think he'll be better than Campusano at the plate. Look at his catching. Look at those metrics. Now, look at Campy. Look at Campy's catching metrics. Night and day. Even if they are the same hitter at the plate, this is Campusano behind the plate. He's one of the worst framers in baseball. At minus 6 runs, I think. CS above average, minus. I mean, these are pathetic catching stats. And look at Elias Diaz. That can be the difference right there. I mean, that's the difference right there. That makes him way more worth it than Campy. Even if they're the same hitter. And I'll tell you this, damn it, Elias Diaz is a better hitter. No-brainer move for the Padres. The question becomes, what do they do? It's funny, BK. What do they do with Campy? Someone said DFA him. No. Because as frustrating as Campusano has been this year, there are truths related to Luis Campusano. Truth number one, he's 25 years old. Truth number two, he's under club control through 2029. Truth number three, that is a very tradable piece. That's the truth. Again, Campy hasn't been good, but I guarantee you teams will still find him value. And at worst, he's still a backup catcher. At worst. He makes a few tweaks to his swing. I'll tell you, the Padres have the right infrastructure for pitching, but they don't have the right infrastructure for hitting. They trade Campy to a team that believes they can fix him at the with the bat. He's a very solid DH with 4 or 5 years of club control. So he's very tradable. Now, it's unfortunate. You know, we all thought Campy was kind of going to be our stopgap and wait until Ethan Salas is ready. But, man, I don't know. I mean, I don't know right now, and I think you guys can all agree with me, how tough is it watching Luis Campusano at the plate right now? It's like Xander Bogaerts. You just feel kind of hopeless, right? Don't you just feel kind of hopeless with Xander Bogaerts at the plate? So, ladies and gentlemen, again, if you are just tuning in, we also have an announcement. We will be launching the Hogwatch on all audio platforms. For I know a lot of you guys want to listen to the show when you're driving to work, whatever it may be. We will be on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We're going to have those links in the description here pretty, pretty soon. If you are listening on replay, again, once again, the Padres take game one of this 7-game road trip against the fighting for their playoff live St. Louis Cardinals. The Padres win 7-4. Robert Suarez gets, I believe, hit another save tonight. Jackson Merrill, the story of the kid. The legend continues. And I'll tell you, MLB Network had a feature on him being Rookie of the Year. This was after his walk-off homer today. Yesterday, he had another three RBI today. So he was absolutely fantastic and incredible. Manny Machado had an up-and-down series against the New York Mets. I'll tell you, he had a very, very good game today. And the Padres improved their already best National League road record and is now 38-26 on the road. That is not a typo. A lot of people say you want a home playoff series, and there's no doubt I want to see 45,000-plus strong waving their yellow towels at Petco Park. But damn it, there is a reason this team likes to play on the road. I don't know what it is, but they like to play on the road, so I wouldn't be too upset if we had to do the whole Road Warriors skit once again. You take a look at the updated wildcard standings. As we know, the Arizona Diamondbacks are the hottest team in baseball in the second half. But the Padres are just one game behind them now after a victory today. They are tied in the win column. The Diamondbacks open a crucial four-game set against the New York Mets, who now are also fighting for their playoff lives, being 2.5 back of the Braves. Will be 3 by the end of the night after the Atlanta Braves yet win again. They defeat the Minnesota Twins, who are now 2 back of the AL Central. But the Royals are now a game back of the AL Central, which is pretty, pretty interesting. But you take a look at the updated wild card standings. The Padres now have a very nice cushion, a 6-game cushion to be exact, over the New York Mets for the final playoff spot. How we feeling, ladies and gentlemen? How are we feeling, baby? Hog, we know Merrill 100% deserves it, but do you think they'll still give it to Skeens? I don't know. We saw the Pirates GM, I believe, talk about Paul Skeens and how they may be a little bit more cautious with him going forward. And here you can see it. The Pirates are making the right decision on Paul Skeens despite team playing falling out of playoff picture. He was so good against the Reds. He was so good. He will not pitch on regular rest the rest of the year. I can almost assure you of that. I don't say things indefinite very much, but I can say it's 95% he will not throw on a regular 4 days rest. What does that mean? They're probably not going to... he's not going to throw every 4 days now, manager Derek Shelton says. Oh, you know what? They are going to pitch him. And I'll tell you this, this Rookie of the Year race is pretty important. You want to know why? Whoever wins the Rookie of the Year, not only does that player earn a $750,000 bonus, but the team gets a compensatory selection after the first round. So basically a late first round pick. Do you know how good AJ Preller is in the draft? A lot of you guys may want the Rookie of the Year for Jackson Merrill. And of course we want that. But AJ Preller literally took Merrill in the late 20s of the draft. The dude probably can find another Merrill with a compensatory pick. He is the best guy who drafts, and with a farm system that's depleted, all draft capital helps AJ Preller in his biggest strength. Let's get that extra pick, bro. So it's going to be close. The more shutout Skeens has, it's going to get tough. But you take a look at Jackson Merrill's numbers. It's not just the really good numbers, but it's the clutchness. He has 6 like game tying or winning homers. Like that's taken into account. He's the best center fielder in the National League. It's not even close. He's the second best center fielder in all of baseball behind Aaron Judge, who's going to be the AL MVP by a mile. And I think what a lot of people need to forget or remember is Jackson Merrill had a pathetic first 50 to 60 ABs in the major leagues. He's basically a 320, 330 hitter since he's figured out major league pitching.
And even his outs are loud. I mean, this kid. I mean, let's get some freaking Jackson Merrill emojis in the chat, please. Do you see these numbers? This is absurd. I'm going to take a pick. Take a look at this. He does everything. Everything. He hits the ball to all areas of the field. Oh, my. And look at his defense. He's an elite fielder. I mean, he's literally perfect. Dub. Oh, and by the way, dude has 75 ribs, top 30 in baseball, top 20 in batting average. He hasn't even filled out yet. I think he grades to be a 30 home run guy. He's a superstar, man. And you want to know the best part? He's one of the real leaders of this team. He's expected to be the best player on this team. Seriously. Seriously. And he may just be this year. He may just be. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in on the San Diego Padres Hogwatch postgame show presented by Mantis Sleep. Again, go make sure you go to Mantis Sleep and use code HOG, 10% off checkout. Jackson Merrill, Manny Machado, Randy Vasquez lead the way. The Padres take game one of this pivotal four-game set in St. Louis. The San Diego Padres improve to 75-58 overall, 38-26 on the road, which is the National League best. 29 games to play, 6 games up on playoff cushion. Sleep well, dream well, be well. Smash that like and subscribe button. It's been your boy Hog, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm signing out. Peace.